Star-Crossed, performed by Christian Fox.
What the hell are you talking about? You really don't know? Your father didn't tell you why I'm here? What you're expected to do?
Be nice to you? I offer, hopeful, because I'm starting to get a very sick feeling in my stomach.
No, you simpleton, I'm here. We're here, she amends, to make a baby.
What? I laugh so loud. She rushes forward in a panic and cups her hand over my mouth. And in that instant, when she touches me, when her skin meets mine, my whole world explodes.
What?
But she's already rushing for the door.
What did you just say?
I call after her. But she's already got the doors open, already crashing into the waiting circle of guards who surround her and whisk her off. And then, she's gone. Poof. As quick as she came.
Breeding ceremony?
I call out.
What fucking breeding ceremony?
Booty Hunter, performed by Savannah Peachwood and Teddy Hamilton.
Chapter 3, Serpent. Fun fact about Cygnian princesses, they are extra special horny little minxes, and they light up like a sun-going supernova when they come. That's the whole reason Crux keeps a whole flock of sexy swans up here in his private penthouse. I've seen it before, maybe hundreds of times. It's hard not to get a glimpse when every time I'm home on the station, I have to be up here doing business with Crux. But this one's glow is... I mean, I'm not trying to be disparaging, but it's dull, barely worth watching. When I glance over my shoulder, everyone in the room has lost interest. A half-breed, maybe? Is that a thing?
Chapter 4. Lyra. Fun fact about Achillean males. They have two extra-long, extra-hard, extra-thick cocks. But the only time you know they have two cocks is right after they come, because one requires the other to emerge, which means fucking an Achillean is never quick or easy. I was brought here, I snarl at him, trying to pull off an attitude, but my eyes are stuck on his body, and even though I've already seen him shirtless, he was sweaty and dirty, and now he's clean and smells like a fucking planet. For son's sake, why? Why did I mouth off up in the harem room? Surely if I had just kept my trap shut, I'd have ended up somewhere better than here. With him.
Big Dicker. Performed by Tad Branson and Anne Pepperidge. Chapter 8. Delphi. What the hell are you talking about? Liberate bots? That's not what you do. He raises that eyebrow again. Oops, I shouldn't know what he does. I mean, I say, correcting myself, you look like, I don't know, a bounty hunter or something. No. He laughs. He's got a nice laugh, and a nice smile, too. In fact, Jimmy of Harem Station isn't anything like I imagined. That's my brother, Serpent. He's the bounty hunter in the family. I'm in charge of bot liberation. That word, I say, it makes no sense to me. I mean, liberation? I don't get it. You, what, buy them and take them back to, did you say Harem Station? Sometimes we buy them, most times we just steal them. You can't own people, you know. Yeah, I laugh, but you can own bots. Not if they're people. They're not people. They are people. Okay, I say. Whatever you say. Thank you for the shopping offer, but I'm fine. In fact, maybe I should just find another place to stay. And you know what the funny thing is? When I say this to him, I mean it. He's weird. This whole bots are people too thing, also weird. And his brother Serpent, one of the most awful men in the entire galaxy.
Lady Luck, Book 3 of Harem Station, performed by Emma Wilder and Jacob Morgan.
Chapter 7. Look. Okay, take off your clothes, I say.
What?
She snaps. No, I'm not taking off my clothes for a sun-fucking quickie. Just... She lifts up her skirt and pulls her panties aside. Work around it. I'm in the mood for naked sex. I joke. So, yeah. So, no, you want this? She says, panning a hand down her body. You work around it. But I'm already naked. It's not fair. Life's not fair, Luck. You should have learned that lesson by now. Okay, I say, walking over to the couch and taking a seat. But I get lap sex then. I'm not in the mood to fuck you against a wall today. Oh my God, you're so damn romantic. I'm swooning. Just climb on.
Prison Princess, performed by Joe Arden, Rose DiOro, and Shane East.
Chapter 15. Trey. But he doesn't finish, just turns away and heads towards the tall, spindly tropical trees, easing into the shadows, walking a sandy path that probably is well-worn. My gaze lingers on his back until he disappears, then I turn to Bridget. I place both hands on her cheeks and kiss her lips. Her mouth opens for me immediately, her tongue pressing against mine. Her hands slip down to my ass and my cock jumps to life. I know how it works with Signian princesses. I've heard all the sexy tales my hooked-up brothers have been telling about how their genetically matched mates affect their two cocks, but Bridget isn't a Signian princess. There was no one manipulating our DNA before birth tying us together, so my second cock stays hidden. We will have to coax him out the old-fashioned way.
Chapter 16. Bridget. I exhale. It's a long, satisfied exhale, like relief, and we haven't even started yet.
Hurry up, Trey says. Put your fingers between your legs and get wet.
I don't need to get wet. I'm already there, but I'm not going to ruin his good time, and I like the dirty talk. I've been waiting lifetimes for this moment. When I reach between my legs, he presses his hips against my ass, letting me know he's impatient to be inside me. I close my eyes and play with my clit with two fingers while the other two gather up the warm pool of slickness. His cock bumps into my hand, and I reach further between my legs and jerk on him. He leans back, one hand gripping my hip bone so tight I'll have a bruise later. I don't care.
Chapter 26. Interlude with Alcor. Alcor is enraged. Also very jealous, because he's stuck inside this stupid Warborg body and they, God, it kills him to use that word for them, they are both in their native forms, i.e. limitless, all-powerful minds, which makes him feel small, but also petty, because his first words are not, holy shit, I'm so glad you're okay, and oh my God, I have so much to tell you about what happened to me, and would you like to be my partner forever? Because I think you're the only one who gets me, and we're, like, soulmates or something. Nope, that's not what he says, even though that's what he means. What Alcor really says is, motherfucker, you have 10 picoseconds to get your ass out of my booty. And he doesn't so much as say it, but growl it. Which makes no sense, really. Because where else is the asshole going to go? Veiled Vixen, performed by Shane East and Jason Clark.
Chapter 29. Valor. Airlocks don't generally lock, per se. They do if there's no atmosphere on the other side. That's a safety issue. But when a ship is docked, like Vela's is, and the atmosphere has been equilibrated, then you just push the open or close buttons to make the doors work between station and ship. So I don't think about the airlock much as I pass through it. But after I wind my way through the park and the forest to her door, I stop and wonder about something. All this time we've been working together, she has never come to my quarters. To be fair, I've never gone to hers either. But that's not my point. My point is, what if she did come to my quarters? And what if she found my door locked? Because it has been. Up until this very night, I have locked that stupid door. How would it make her feel to find my door locked? Who was I specifically locking out? My heart hurts for a moment when I picture her coming to my quarters while we were supposed to be resting. How she might place her palm on the mechanism to open my door.
how she would feel when the panel lit up with big capital letters in red that said, "Locked." She would know that the only person I was locking out was her. And that same gut-wrenching fear sits at the bottom of my stomach as I reach my hand towards her door mechanism and pause. It lights up green. Unlocked. Then I feel worse. The door opens and I peek my head in. "Vela?" I call softly. She lifts her body up from the couch. Her hair is a tangled mess of long blonde curls. Her too big sleep shirt is crooked so I can see one bare shoulder.
"What's wrong? Did something happen?"
"No." I shake my head as I cross the room and stand in front of her. Her eyes catch on my chest, then slowly lift up to meet mine. I'm shirtless, I realize. Probably should have thought that through a little better, because it looks like I'm here on a booty call, and I pretty much am here on a booty call, but that's not the only reason.